when you're in the middle of a story, it isn't a story at all, but only a confusion, a dark roaring, a blindness. It's only afterwards that it becomes anything like a story when you're telling it to yourself or to someone else.
Well, good morning. It is good to see almost every one of you here today. Vinny's here, so you know. All right, now it's good to see Vinny too. Love Vinny. I really do. He grows on you. Hey, we're in week 5. We're talking about the stories we tell, the great parable. Hey, there's one thing I need to point out to you. Some of you got your bulletin when you came in. They have these little handouts in it. I don't know who put this together, but they made a mistake right at the beginning, because we're not going to do Matthew 14, 12 through 24. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 14, you're turning to the wrong place, okay? You want to turn to Luke 14, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're not going to put up, can we adjust the sound a little bit too? We're not going to put up the scriptures on the screen. There are Bibles in front of you. You can open up. I'm going to be reading through and kind of working through the scripture. You can just listen to me as well. So we're going to kind of walk through this and see what it is that Jesus has for us today. In your handout, you'll see that we're going to talk a little bit about the situation. What was going on? Last week, Pastor Greg, when he was talking about the rich fool, he mentioned that there's some things that Jesus warns us about. You know, tells us about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Today, we find Jesus hanging out with some Pharisees. All right, if you go look and turn to chapter 14, of Luke, you're going to see that Jesus, it's on the Sabbath, and Jesus is... Well, he's eating in a home of one of the leading Pharisees. So this guy is pretty important, okay? He is a, everybody wants to be like him, okay? He's a leading Pharisee, so people are drawn to him. People want to hang out with him because, you know, he may have some things you might catch. You know, you might be able to be, people might notice you. There's this little political king that's going on here. And as Jesus is with the Pharisees, it says in there that everyone was kind of watching Jesus. Everyone's kind of examining Jesus. And we find that these Pharisees, they're doing that in many ways to try to catch him. All right? They're trying to see where this young, in this case here would be, you know, like a Greg here, you know, this young hipster Pharisee, right? I mean, that's what Jesus was in that day. He wasn't the traditional Pharisees like, you know, I might, you know, what's a Pharisee anyway? Pharisee is a teacher, right? They're people who are teaching people about God, teaching him. And so you had the traditional type that, you know, being older, you know, in my second half of my, you know, century now. But you had the young hipster Jesus Pharisee like Greg, okay? That's, you following me with that? Does that make somewhat kind of sense? You know, as much as I want, you know, I couldn't even try to be hipster, okay? It is just not going to happen. You know, I tell old jokes. Greg then will try to tell them, and it just doesn't go over because they're old jokes. He can't tell old jokes. He's not old yet. So he'd see Jesus hanging out with some Pharisees this day. They're checking him out, and they're trying to find, they want to trip him up. And why they're there, there's this guy who has this illness called dropsy. How many know what dropsy is? Good. Some of you know. I didn't know what it was. All right, I had to go. I went and looked it up. Maybe I had dropsy this morning. I was in the shower. I could not grab that soap bar. I don't know how many times I tried to pick it up, but that's not what they're talking about here. Okay, they're talking about it's sort of like maybe it's anemia. You know, where you don't get rid of the body doesn't get rid of the waste, and you swell up, you get a lot of fluid in your legs or your arms or different parts, you would actually begin to sag a little bit because they're so swollen. This is what this dropsy is like. So Jesus asked a question. Hey guys, it's a Sabbath. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath? He asked the question. He's with all these religious leaders, and nobody will even answer him. So Jesus heals the man and sends him on his way. And then he asks them a question. Hey, wait a minute. You guys, your kid falls into a well. One of your livestock, maybe it's an oxen that you need for farming, falls into a well. Are you going to try to get him out? Well, I don't know. It's the Sabbath. If I tried to get him out, they'd be working, you know, and that'd be against the law. Do I, you know, you say, I'm sorry, Jimmy, here's a piece of bread, we'll get you out tomorrow. You're not going to do that. You're going to get them out. Again, the Pharisees wouldn't answer Jesus. Now, I want to be careful here, too. You know, the Pharisees, they were serious about following God. I want to give them credit. They were serious about following God. They looked to memorize all of the scriptures up to that point. Literally would have them memorized. They were serious about following after God. There was a group of Pharisees known as the bruised and bleeding Pharisees. You ever hear of them before? Why would they be bruised and beating, or bruised and bleeding? Well, they didn't want to look upon a woman with lust. So they would walk around blindfolded. Thus, they're called bruised and bleeding. You walk around blindfold, you run into things, you know. But they were serious about following God. Now, did they take it to a wrong extreme? Yeah, they did. They did. Are there people today who look to take things to a wrong extreme in following God? Ever hear of ISIS? We can even get Christians who take these things to the extreme, and no, they're no longer following God, but they're looking at following rules and regulations. We've known people like that. But these Pharisees, they've dedicated their life to follow God. Now, they're wrong in their approach, and they're more religious than they are in a relationship. But look, at these were men who dedicated their life to God. Again, they're trying to catch Jesus. Jesus knows that and is really catching them. So if your kid falls into a well on the Sabbath, pull him out quickly, okay? Don't wait till the next day. Do it right away. Jesus is saying, it's okay, it's good. He goes on to say that he noticed as they were going to this party, this dinner with the Pharisees, again, this is really kind of political in nature, what was going on. Everybody wanted to get the best seat. So maybe the head of the house, the lead Pharisee, would sit at one end. Everyone was trying to smooge a little bit and try to get closer to him. And there was this little game going on, who's going to get the best seat? And Jesus begins to call him out a little bit. He says, hey, wait a minute, guys. It's better to sit at the lowest seat. Because if you sit at the good seat, you might get asked to move. That ever happened to anybody here? You know, sorry, you're not supposed to sit there. That's reserved for somebody else. That's not a fun feeling. I've had things like that happen. You ever sit where in the low seat and they said, hey, you're supposed to come up here and sit? Yeah, I guess that happened too. I like that better than the other, all right? And Jesus went on to say, you know, again, he's watching these guys play this game at this guy's house. They're living this out. And Jesus said, hey, look it. If you try to exalt yourself, you're going to be humble. But if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. Again, he's pointing out these things. He's talking real plain. They understand exactly what he's saying. Because these people are playing that political game. They're trying to get, you know, a little bit ahead of the next person. There's this competition going on. And Jesus is kind of calling everybody out who's there. He already insulted them a little bit by saying, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? Then he heals somebody. It's, calls him out a little bit about this party that's going on. And if you go on into to verse 12, we see Jesus now begin to address the host. He says, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends and your family or other relatives, your rich neighbors. At another time, they'll invite you to eat with them, and you'll be repaid. He's saying, it's better when you have a party or something to invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind. He goes, you'll be blessed because they'll have nothing and cannot pay you back. But you'll be repaid when good people rise from the dead. He's talking about the day of resurrection. He's talking about doing things that last for eternity. He's talking about earning our reward in heaven. You know, being blessed, living that way. Not so you get what you deserve now. So what happens with this here? What's going on? Well, the head Pharisee, this lead Pharisee, who did he invite? He invited everyone in the room who could pay him back sometime. Matter of fact, that's probably why he invited them. Hey, if I invite them, I will get something in return. So Jesus here is being a little bit critical. Again, he's talking about healing on the Sabbath. Oh, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do these things. You know, he gets into, not trying to exalt yourself, but to humble yourself. And now he's going after the host. Hey, you're just inviting people who can pay you back. I get the sense that this party, there's a little bit of tension going on. Because in verse 15, you see this guy say, one of those at the table with Jesus heard these things and said to him, happy are the people who will share in the meal in God's kingdom. What's he trying to do here? He's trying, okay, I got to smooth this over. I'm feeling uncomfortable. I don't like the situation. Jesus is over here accusing everybody else of all these things, and boy, there's tension here. So he's going to try to smooth it over. And then Jesus goes on to tell him this parable. He says, you know, the kingdom of heaven, it's like this. He goes, there was a man, gave a big banquet, and he invited many people. Now, we need to understand a little bit about that day. Think about it here. Michon and Vinny got married last September. It was September, right? How many months in advance did you invite people to come to it? 3 months. About 3 months ahead of that, okay? Why in the world would you do that? Why didn't you just wait till the week before? So they could plan for it, and so that you knew how many people were coming, so that you could feed them. You had to plan for all this, right? By the way, coming up September 20th, do you realize September 20th, 1978, was the first time I ever asked my wife out. She wasn't my wife then. And she said yes. I couldn't believe it that she said yes. So we were kind of going out at that point, you know? But think about that. September 20th, 1978. 7 years and one day later, we actually got married, okay? And this year, on September 21st, is our 30th wedding anniversary. And you're thinking, wow, Jay, would you get married when you were 9? Yeah, I did. Maybe you're not thinking that. On September 20th, it's a Sunday afternoon, we're going to renew our vows. And then in the gym, we're going to have a party. And you all are invited. So Michon gave you 3 months notice. I'm giving you 4 months notice. You can circle your calendars. And just so you know what we're asking that, we're not asking for anything, okay? No gifts. Your presence there will be your present. But if people who are part of things want to bring a dish to pass, we're going to do the kind of cover dish thing, but we're going to get a DJ and we'll have some dancing and some fun. But we're planning for it now. My wife was after me. Did you talk to Michon about getting that DJ? Are you doing these type of things? You know, we need to start saving for money. And it's a go. It's a go. We've got to talk about cost after, though. But it's a, we're planning these things out. Why? Because we want to know who's coming. Back in Jesus' day, it was even more important. Because if you're going to throw a big banquet, you're going to have this big party, you need to know who's coming. Because if only two people are coming, you know, you have a chicken dinner. And you got to understand, they didn't have refrigeration. So it's a fresh chicken dinner. You may be eating in the evening. That morning, the chicken may have been eating, okay? I'm not going to get into too many details about that, but let's say you have a lot of people coming. Well, maybe you're going to have to get a goat. Maybe more people are going, so you have to get a cow. So you're preparing for this. So the master here, who's having the banquet, he sent invitations out to people, and people responded, and now he's preparing for the dinner. He's got everything ready, and he tells his servant, go. Go out and tell everybody it's time. So, the servant went out. Verse 18. But all the guests made excuses. The first one said, I've just bought a field. I must go look at it. Now, this is a lame excuse. All right? How many of you ever bought a house? Yeah, you bought a house. How many of you went and bought a house without ever going and looking at it? Crazy. This is just crazy. Matter of fact, I remember the first house I bought was in Schenectady. Wasn't making a whole lot of money, and there was this house that they were asking, I forgot, $75,000 for it. The most a bank would give me was $65,000, okay? So I put an offer in on this house for $65,000, knowing that is the absolute most that I could afford. And I remember I'm driving this old Volkswagen Dasher, okay? It's all rusted out, and I'm sitting in front of the house, and I'm begging God, could you just give me this house? You know, could you? I mean, I'm literally crying, begging God for this house. And they accepted our offer. And it's interesting, you know, I had walked through the house, I had looked it all over, brought my father-in-law through the house so he could check it out, make sure it was a sound house. It's so funny, afterwards we're moving in, and I'm looking at everything that's wrong with this house. And I'm thinking, God, why did you give me this house? And he says, because you asked me for it. Sometimes when you go buy a house, you have these rose-colored glasses on. You don't see anything until you actually own it. And then it's like, oh, man, you can't even open the windows in this house. What's going on here? It's nuts, though. Who would buy some property without checking it out? In Jesus' day, they're going to buy a field. You're going to want to know where the lines are. Are there the walls between it? What's it like? You're not going to buy a house and then go check it out. This guy's excuse is really lame. The next guy says, hey, look, it, I just bought 5 pair of oxen. I got to go try them out now. It's another lame excuse. It'd be like someone saying, hey, I just went and bought this used car. Now I got to go look at it, make sure it works. Who's going to do that? It's nuts. Oxen were really important in that day. And what they would do is they would actually go watch someone work the team of oxen. Make sure that they work well together. Make sure all these things, you knew what you were buying. You're spending a lot of money. You're going to make sure it works. This guy's excuse is lame. We start talking about, another guy came up and said, you know, I just got married. We're not able to come. Really? Heather and Thomas were in church last night. And I asked Heather, I go, how long before May 2nd, they just got married May 2nd, did you know you're getting married on May 2nd? She goes, a year and a half. You plan these things out, right? You know when you're getting married, Matt? Any idea? Good. I'm glad. Let's keep it that way, okay? It's my little boy, in case you didn't know. You know when this is happening. So Vinny and Michonne got married in September, and someone invites them to come to something, and that's either the day they get married or maybe they're going away on their honeymoon or something. They get the invitation, and what are they going to say? Sorry, I wish I could be there. I can't be there. These people They said yes to the host's invitation. And then it came up, no, we don't have time. We just got married. Really? Is that shotgun wedding? You didn't know about this? What's going on here? It wouldn't have been a shotgun wedding because they would have got stoned if it was a shotgun wedding. If you don't know what a shotgun wedding is, good. I'm glad you don't know what that is. So you get this idea that all these excuses were lame. The servant came back to the master and said, hey, look, I'm sorry, I went and got everybody, but they all made up these excuses. What's his response? What's your response? You invite people to something, they're going to come, and then they don't show up. Disappointment, at the very least, probably angry, right? You went to all this work to prepare for these people because you thought they were special enough to invite you, and then they don't even come. He's upset. He says, look, I want you to go into town. Find anybody. Look in the alleys. Look anywhere. Find the broken. Find the undesirable people. Never get invited to anything. Bring them. So he goes and he does that. And then he comes up to the master in verse 22. I've done what you commanded, but we still have room. 23, the master said to the servant, go out to the roads, the country lanes, and urge people to come so my house will be full. And then he goes on to say, I tell you, none of these whom I've invited first will eat with me. So what can we learn from this? Kind of a quick summary. Guy was given a banquet. Invited many people, told them that there's time to come. They made excuses they couldn't come. He went out and he invited people who couldn't or shouldn't come, people who couldn't repay him. By the way, this kind of goes back to what Jesus was saying earlier, invite people who cannot pay you any reward, so your reward is in heaven. They do that. Still room. Hey, go out, invite anybody. Go out into the countryside, invite people. Go anywhere and invite them. Now, when Jesus began to talk about this parable, these Pharisees knew what he was talking about. You go back and you look in Isaiah 25, you see Isaiah describing the kingdom of heaven as a banquet. You see Isaiah describing what heaven is going to be like with God, the Master, taking care of everyone, welcoming people in, feeding them. You see what a picture of what heaven is. So the Pharisees, again, they have this scripture memorized. They knew that Jesus was talking about not just something that goes on around us, but they're talking about that day when it's the last day. The day of resurrection. They knew what he was talking about. And he was saying to them, you know what? There's been a lot of people who've been invited. And you go read commentaries, they're going to talk about the Jewish people. If there was anybody who should have recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, it should have been them. They have all the scripture memorized. But the Gospel of John says they didn't receive him. This is a way that we see that Jesus is opening the door to those who aren't Jewish. Anyone here, you don't have to raise your hand, but are you full-blooded Jewish? Anyone? I just told you not to raise your hand, so that's why nobody did. Probably you all are. But I'm guessing that probably none of us are. We're probably all what Scripture would be Gentiles. Okay? Here we see in this parable that Jesus has now opened the door. Because in the Jewish culture, the Gentiles were undesirables. All of us here are these undesirables. We're the lame, the blind, the homeless. And he opens the door for us. And he also opens the door through what we call grace. Right? Grace. God's grace. What is grace? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So we see this grace, because all the undesirables, they did not deserve to come to this banquet. All, and this gets into everybody now in the world, don't deserve to be with Jesus, to know the Father, to have eternity with them. None of us. But God freely gives us this invitation, knowing that we could never repay him for it, knowing that we could never earn it. So we begin to see this gift of grace. It's interesting. The servant obeys the master. First, they sent the invitations out. Then he went and told them that it's ready. Came back, told the master. The master told him, go get other people in the city who don't deserve to be here. Invite them in. He goes and he does that. And then the master gives him another command. He says, go out into the countryside. Anywhere. And invite them to come. But you know, at that point, we don't hear the completion of that command. Why? You know why? Because Jesus hasn't come back yet. We haven't reached the last day. That time is coming. There's going to come a point that command will be completely filled. So now what he's doing, he's saying to those of us who are servants of his, it's your responsibility to go invite other people. The banquet isn't being held yet, but it's coming, and it's coming quick. So part of the questions that we have to ask, matter of fact, Hunter, you can pull up the first thing, the takeaway. If you look on the bottom of your sheet, the takeaway. This parable teaches that no one may enter the kingdom of God without an invitation from God. Nobody can come into the kingdom of God without God first inviting him. And we see God's invitation to us, doesn't he? We go read John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see God's invitation. Come, I want you to come. I want you to be a part. And it's an invitation of grace. I just described that. It's a free gift. It's a gift that you don't deserve, that I don't deserve, but he gives it to us anyway. He gives us this eternal life freely. But there's a warning involved in it. We need to respond to the invitation when it's heard. You know, there's people out there who are saying, hey, God is just a God of love, and everyone goes to be with him in heaven. There's people who say that. You don't see that in Scripture, though. Scripture says we need to respond to God. We need to accept his invitation. If I had 10 bucks in my pocket, and I don't, I think I have 2 bucks, but I offered it to Matt, and I said, Matt, here, take this. It's here in my hand. When is it Matt's? It's not his until what? He receives it. He takes it. Now, he's not going to take it because he's probably got my credit card in his wallet. But did you ever give that back to me? But we need to receive it. We need to accept it. And we also need to understand that this invitation will not last forever. There comes a day that Jesus is coming back. There comes a day that's going to be the end of all days. Time is going to end. We sing a song, a hymn, you know, about Jesus' return. It said the skies will be rolled back like a scroll. That time, it'll be too late. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Pastor Greg talked last week about the rich fool. Remember, he's storing up these stuff in this new barn, and God said, look, tonight, your soul will be required of you. We don't know what that brings. You know, it's important for us to respond. I hear people sometimes say, yeah, that's good, but I'm enjoying the life I'm living now. God's just a big killjoy, by the way, you know, and you've heard people say that, and you know, by the way, he's not a big killjoy. Actually, you find extreme joy with God. But you hear people, I want to live this life. I want to enjoy my life now. Maybe later on when I'm older, when I'm Pastor Jay's age, you know, over 50 and really old, at that point, maybe then I'll respond. But we don't know. A couple things here I want to mention. First of all, I don't want to scare anybody into the kingdom. God loves us and He invites us to come in and experience Him. His invitation was there. You have the right to choose or not choose it. That's up to you. But you know what? We're a people who have, our decisions have consequences. And we need to consider that. Because God's invitation is free. And it's a wonderful gift. But it will require something of you. If you go into the rest of Luke 14, he gets into talking about this cost of being a follower. Matter of fact, you got to hate your life in comparison to following after God. He gets into talking about dying to yourself daily. There's a cost to it. Couple things that I'd like you to think about as we finish up here. Where are you at with God? He's offered a free invitation. Do you know? What if your soul was required of you today? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? Heaven and hell are real. Do you know? Maybe you're here and you don't know. Because it's not about going to church. It's not about putting money in the black boxes. It's not about filling out a guest card. It's about knowing Jesus and having His Spirit live in us. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, I never really experienced that, but I wouldn't mind talking to somebody about it. And you know, this parable has some meaning to those of us who maybe know the Lord, who've walked with Him, because we have a responsibility now. In Matthew 9, it talks about pray to the Lord of the harvest that He might send laborers into the field. The fields are white for harvest. It means that there's people out there who want to know Jesus but don't have anyone to tell Him. And He calls us as His servants to go and reach them and tell them. Matter of fact, we're to go to what? The uttermost parts of the world. Do you think this is what He meant in that parable about the highways, the countryside? Going out. Some of you may be called to go to other areas of the country or the world so that people would know Jesus. That's our responsibility as servants, is to share the good news. So I'm just going to ask you to do something. We do this thing where we just ask you to close your eyes. Promise you nobody's going to come up and tap you on the back or anything. Just close your eyes. Just kind of try to just focus on God. Imagine sitting with God, just you and Him alone. You're in His presence. That first question I asked you about there, you never really understood what it meant to know Jesus. But yet you feel something inside of you saying, I wouldn't mind talking to somebody. I don't want to be strong-armed into anything or manipulated into anything, but I wouldn't mind sitting down talking to somebody. If that's you, you're not sure where you stand with God, but you wouldn't mind talking to someone about it? Would you do me a favor and just look at me? Make eye contact with me. And then we'll know. How about now, their eyes still closed? You get a sense that you've known Jesus for a while. And you're sensing His call. tell others. And that doesn't mean necessarily getting up on the street and preaching. It may mean just having coffee with a neighbor. It may be what we do, this thing, this Love 2020, where we're praying for people and caring for them, loving them, to the point where they ask us, why would we do that? If that's where you're at, and you're sensing God saying, yeah, Jay, I need to go out. I need to go out to the highways and invite people in, because the day of reckoning is coming. There's people in my family. There's friends that I go to school with. There's people that I work with. They don't know Jesus yet. If you sense God calling you to take a bolder step, I'm just going to ask if you might look at me as well. Just raise your eyes and head and look at me. And thanks. Thank you. Lord, today we come before you. I thank you, Lord, for how you gave yourself for us. Why we were yet sinners. You died. You paid the price on the cross. You took our sin and our shame and you destroyed it. And now we're able to be in a relationship with the Father because of you, and that you've given us the Holy Spirit to live in power and guide us, to transform us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us just the way we are, but you refuse to leave us that way. You look to make us just like Jesus. Jesus, you tell us that as your servants, we look to you and we look to become like you. We imitate you. We mirror you. And Jesus, as you came into this world to tell people of the Father, you send us out. Lord, I pray that you would empower us in a great way to be those witnesses. Not annoying, but loving, caring. Lord, that we would see people. Lord, put people's lives, their hearts, on our heart. Jesus, you weep over America because most of the people in America truly don't know you. And you desire so much for them to know you. It's your desire that none would perish, Lord, that all would come to repentance. Lord, I pray that you would put that same heart on us, that we would weep for people who don't know you. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you.